We were eating Taco Bell by the cars. I just, like, started feeling my eyes welling up with tears. And I turned to Angel and I was like, don't ask me why, but I'm about to cry. Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. I have my husband with me here again today.
What's up? sup.
We are both recovering from being very tired from traveling for 3 days straight on the road. That's pretty normal for you, though, right?
Yeah, traveling is my thing.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Well, not road trips. That was only my fifth time driving long distance on my own.
And let me tell you, she's not a very good long distance driver. But she did really good on this one.
Yeah, I'm learning. I'm more of like a airplane or train type of traveler, not by car. I don't know. I mean, I think it's because growing up, I always got car sick. So I think in my head, even though I don't get car sick anymore, I think in my head, I just still think that that's possible. Anyway, yeah. So we're going to kind of talk about that. Yeah, we moved.
Yeah. So let me catch you up on how this road trip went. So we started and we left early, and we made good time. We drove through, and by the time we left from Arizona to New Mexico, I'm sorry, she's making a lot of noise over there. Don't know what she's doing. But by the time we left from Arizona to New Mexico, 5 hours in the drive, Staria just decides, hey, I'm having a rough time, this moving thing.
Oh my gosh, I forgot this happened. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
What happened, babe?
Okay, so we were stopping for lunch, and okay, let me back up a little bit more, actually. Sorry, got a little bit too much air in my throat. I was about to cough. Don't want to freak anybody out. I was surprised that I wasn't getting anxious before this road trip, because like I said, road trips are not like really my thing quite yet. And what are you doing?
Nothing. Road trips aren't quite your things yet.
I'm not even gonna say what he was just doing. They're not really my thing, because I just am not like comfortable with them yet. It's not like second nature like it is with him. I'm sorry, I'm so distracted right now. Anyway, so I wasn't getting anxious or nervous at all, and I was like, oh shoot, why is this not happening? It's like, maybe I'm over it, I don't know. But no, it just hit me later. It hit me when we stopped for lunch the first day. We were eating Taco Bell by the cars. And I just like started feeling my eyes welling up with tears. And I turned to Angel and I was like, don't ask me why, but I'm about to cry. And I was just like eating my quesadilla, just sobbing. And honestly, like, it was just like the anxiety came late or something. It was very interesting, but yeah, I don't know, like I'm still not used to long distance road trips on my own, so
Yeah, I was like, what is going on with this girl right now? I don't understand.
I definitely freaked you out. He was like, oh my gosh, you're not in for this lifestyle, are you? Yeah. And I'm like, no, please don't think that.
I was like, well, worst case scenario, while I'm gone, you can move back to Arizona. She's like, no, I'm fine with
it. Heck no. Mm-mm.
So, and then from there, she recovered really well. And so we kept driving, and we actually made good timing through all the way through New Mexico towards the border of New Mexico and Colorado.
Literally, we stopped right before the border, crossing over to Colorado.
Actually, I thought we had crossed already, so I told her, yeah, we're in Colorado, so let's just call it a day. And we wake up in the morning and she's like, actually, we're still in New Mexico. We haven't crossed the border yet.
It's because I went to post a picture, and I always put the location, and it said New Mexico, and I was like, wait, what? But yeah, I do want to point out that he needed to pull over because he was tired.
Yeah, I was getting a little tired because I tried to not drink any energy drinks, and but it worked pretty well. And went to the hotel and chilled.
I mean, I was feeling tired too because we hit the first part of like farmland. Although compared to the second day, that was like nothing.
Mm-hmm. So the second day we're up, we are traveling. We head out on the road and we're like, okay, we're excited to see what we see today. Literally nothing but farmlands all the way through Kansas, all the way through
Nebraska. It was just like the first 5 minutes of crossing over to Colorado all pretty and like green, and there was like mountains, and then it just went straight into farmland.
Mm-hmm.
For a whole 10-hour drive. It was the worst.
Oh, which, what was pretty impressive though, is we drove through 4 states in one day.
Yeah. The rest of New Mexico, a corner of Colorado, a corner of Kansas, which was terrifying. I wanted to book it out of there. And then a part of Nebraska.
Exactly. But what was hilarious is we're driving through Kansas. We stopped for lunch. It's literally, people were giving us a hard time, but it was literally the only place we could stop for food. There was no fast food around, nothing. Just one little diner
In the middle of Farf. They were doing a good job, though, at staying, like, doing social what they could. Like, they only let, there were only a certain amount of tables that were available. So they were doing what they could.
Mm-hmm. And we ate there, and as we were eating there, the siren goes off. Now, if you don't know Kansas and Nebraska, those places are high volume for tornadoes. Mm-hmm. And Staria is terrified of tornadoes.
I did so much research on tornadoes. Like, I went deep into the internet learning about tornadoes before we left.
She was freaking out. And as we're sitting down to eat, the tornado siren goes off. And oh my goodness, she was like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know. And the lady explained to us and was like, oh, no worries. It's just they do a test every at midday, at noon every day. And so that's what the sound was. So we were chill and calm. We're just like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it's to like make sure that like farmers that are super far out in the fields can hear it. But I didn't freak out that much for that one because when we were driving, like, there's not even a single cloud in the sky. So I was like, okay, I think we're fine. But still, I mean, those sirens are terrifying to hear. They're, even if I wasn't scared of storms, they are just an eerie sound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, let's move on to the better part of the day.
So we're like, okay, let's get out of here. Let's get out in Kansas because it sucks and Tornado City. So we drive through, we finally push through to Nebraska, only to find out that Nebraska is probably worse than Kansas.
Yeah. Well, once we got to Nebraska, I was like, okay, I think I can relax. Like, I don't think I have to worry anymore. But no, off in the distance, my good eye sees all these dark clouds. Because
she has a bad eye.
I see all these dark clouds and I start like freaking out in my car, and I'm like trying to call Angel, but we were having really spotty reception like most of the drive. And I finally get a hold of him and I'm like, I know you're gonna hate this, but I'm freaking out about those clouds up ahead. And you know, he wasn't really happy to hear that because he thinks my fear is weird, which it is weird. Most people think it is. But I just got, like, this bad feeling. I was like, I don't think it's just rain. I think that it's, like, a storm. Like, a straight-up storm. I was trying to tell myself it wasn't a tornado coming, but I honestly wasn't sure. Anyway, we decided to drive for, like, another hour until we hit our, like, hotel destination. But then, I don't know what happened, but it ended up being only, like, maybe 15 minutes longer that we ended up pulling into this town, which I'm so glad we did, because after we parked...
I'm not glad we did, for the record.
We parked, and, like, while we were walking through the doors of the hotel, the tornado siren goes off, and this time, I freak out, because I knew a tornado was coming.
It was so loud, and just, like, screaming, and Her and I, we rush into the hotel. Well, I didn't rush, but we went into the hotel. Because, you know, I'm not afraid of things. But, no, we rush into the hotel. And the front desk lady, she looks at me and she's like, "What is that noise out there?" And I look at Star and I look at the lady and I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "That noise, what is that?" And I'm like, "You don't know what that is?" She's like, "No." And I'm like, "I think it's a tornado siren." She's like, "Tornado siren? Why would they..." I'm like...
Like, she was freaking out a little bit.
She was definitely freaking
and
out.
And I was, like, looking at her. I'm like, "Just so you know, you're making me feel worse."
Yeah. Like, and we're like, "You're supposed to know what to do." And she's like, "I don't know what to do. I've only moved here a month and a half ago and started working here."
And then she's like, "Let me text my boss what I should do." And I'm like, "Girl, call him." Like, also, like, I'm 100% sure that it's somewhere in your training that you're supposed to know what to do in case of a tornado. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
but she was freaked out. She's like, "Yeah, this is definitely not a normal thing here. Because I've never heard one before." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. All right."
It is interesting to me that they don't do regular tests like Kansas does, because they do get a lot of tornadoes. Anyway, I was freaking out. This was the first time that Angel saw me full-on freak out about something. Which, it doesn't last for long. I think it was like 10 minutes or something.
It was definitely like 30 minutes.
It was not.
It was definitely
like 30 minutes. The worst part about it.
Went into the hotel. She was still kind of panicking.
Well, once I'm like, "Let me go
grab us some food." She's like, "Don't leave me."
Once I saw that there was a bathtub, I felt better. Because I know that that's like legitimately a safe place to be during a tornado.
Yeah, guys, you heard it from Star. Bathtubs are the best spot to be
during a tornado. Yeah, apparently all the pipes actually make it so that the structure is more sturdy than other places. I mean, obviously, if you can get into a basement, that's the best call. But this hotel did not have a basement.
They warn you if you're laying in the bathtub and the tornado hits that the pipes may end up stabbing you, but you'll survive the tornado.
Where did you read that?
I just made it up.
Oh my gosh, don't scare people. What if someone like me is listening?
Then I'm sure they would have done their research.
That's true. Anyway, I just feel like I should say this because I feel like this trip has made me think a lot about this fear that I have of storms. I really believe that it's from watching my sister, which, Justina, if you're listening, I don't mean this in a bad way at all. She, when we were younger, she was very afraid of storms too. And it was something that we both were afraid of. Like, anytime we'd wake up in the middle of the night, we'd, like, go into the same room and, like, we would just be together so we weren't as scared. And I think because I looked up to my sister so much, I think as I was growing up, watching her be afraid of things, I was like, "Oh, well, I should be afraid too." I think that's where a lot of this stems from. I think it's kind of a learned thing because it is kind of interesting. Like, most people you meet are not afraid of storms.
Most people.
But yeah, just for privacy issues, we can't say where we are right now, but we are so far liking where we are.
Yeah, I love it. We so we wrapped everything up, drove through, came out here, and the road trip went really well. There was some like things that Star and I discovered that, you know, like her fear of storms and, you know, actually, here's what really happened. She has, in my country, they call it lead foot because it means your feet is too heavy to control. So, because her feet's too heavy for her to control, she decides, "Hey, I'm gonna go 90 miles an hour through Iowa." And whoa.
Actually,
I'm trailing behind her and she's in lead. So I decide, "Hey, you know, I'm just going to focus on doing other things instead of focusing on my speed." And we both end up getting, well, she gets pulled over and I'm like, "I'll be a good husband." So I pull off to the side to wait for her. Next thing I know, the cop goes to her, then walks over to me, asks me for my vehicle license and registration. And I'm like, "What?" So we both end up getting a ticket.
Yep. But, you know, I'm pretty proud. I mean, it was like 4 hours into that day that we were going 90. And it took that long to get pulled over.
It wasn't worth it, guys. It wasn't worth it. We ended up getting a $228 ticket.
Which, that's combined. That's actually not bad at all. I was so worried that I cost us like $800 to $1,000, both of us. Mm-hmm. I was so worried. Anyway, yeah, so I'm a reckless driver, and I like to speed. I like to go fast, and that's what I get. Mom, if you're listening, you now know the truth. I was going 90 miles per hour. yeah, I told her about that, and she did not ask me how fast I was going. I think she did that for a reason. She's like, I don't want to know.
But yeah, other than that, I ended up losing my iPad, which is about over $300 or more, and then lost a laptop, you know, and so it was a pretty testing, trialing trip. But overall, the thing that keeps us all going is we just realize, hey, you know, those things are all materialistic, or, you know, mistakes are made, and it's better to look forward to the future. And one big important thing that I learned from this road trip is that I definitely want to make sure that I'm always there to comfort my partner when she's going through a rough time, instead of, you know, pulling away or abandoning her in her times of trial or hardship. And I actually really loved this road trip because I learned so. I mean, it was definitely a trial with everything that was going on and how exhausted we were, and just everything that had happened. But the most important thing is that I learned such a solid lesson from all of it, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was a toll on my body for sure. Yeah. But it was a good road trip. I feel better. But yeah, I think both of us need to learn how to be there for each other for different things. Like, whenever you're having a bad day, I need to learn not to, because I naturally am like the tough love type of person, and I'm still learning how to not be that way. So, you know, it just takes time.
I think
that's all like the stories we have, right? Yeah. Okay, so something fun that we want to do for like the second half of this episode is I am just going to read out some quotes, just one at a time, and we're going to kind of share our thoughts on it. I just had this idea pop in my head, and I thought it would be really fun, so let me find one that I like.
Thought she already found them.
Well, I did, but now I'm
well, now why are you looking, huh? Just, you know, while she searched for a quote, I'm going to tell you a little story. Did you find a quote yet?
I did find one.
Because I didn't really have a story. I don't know why it came out of my mouth.
Okay, the first quote is, I repeat, the only reason you are not doing what you want is because there is still some part of you which doesn't trust in the part that believes.
That's a real powerful quote. I feel like if there's one thing that I'm blessed with in this life is that I've always done what I've wanted to, even if it means that, like, I step on a bomb and have to redirect my footsteps. Like, you know, I think more people in life will be happier when they start realizing that they need to do what they feel they need to do instead of listening to everyone else, and then in the end end up in a very unhappy, uncomfortable place. And so I feel very blessed because I've never done something I don't want to do. I've always done things that I'm telling myself I want to do.
Yeah. Well, I think that you just need to trust yourself with anything that you do, even if it's something that's risky or scary. I think that you need to trust your gut and trust your mind that you can get through it and that you're very much capable. That's what I think of when I read that. Wow, that really makes me want to get back to reading that Relentless book. It's been a couple days.
It's a good book.
But yeah, I just think that you just need to believe in yourself. I do think that side of us, that doesn't trust that part that, like, is believing in ourselves, I think that's just doubt that we have. And I think that doubt comes from different things that we hear in our life from society. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This next one is very, like, short and simple, but I think I have something that I want to say about it. So it is, don't stop until you're proud. And the reason I wanted to mention that quote is because I think that you shouldn't even stop when you're proud. I think that you should keep pushing and pushing and pushing, because you never know what else is going to come. And I mean, if you stop when you're proud, you might not be proud of what you did a week later or a year later. So I just think that once you reach a goal, you know, be proud of yourself, but then set more goals and keep pushing.
Yeah, I actually don't agree.
Dang!
No, I was just saying, you know, I feel like when you push yourself really, really hard and you achieve the goal that you set out to achieve, and you feel that proudness of yourself, there's like a fine line to me anyways that you have to be careful of. I feel like it depends on what you want to achieve, right? If you want to be legendary and an icon, then don't stop when you feel proud. Just keep pushing and make it amazing and go above and beyond. But I feel like majority of people just want to feel that they've make accomplishments and feel good about themselves, and you know, and I feel like for me, for instance, I'm always conflicted, but I feel really proud when I achieve something, and that thing that I worked really hard for, I'm very proud of. And then I can, and after I enjoy my proudness, I usually go and set another goal or something. Not necessarily the same thing. Like, I feel like, okay, for instance, I start a career, I do my best and I reach an end that, then I get proud. Then I feel like, okay, it's time for me to move on to something now. So I move on to a different direction because I feel like I'm over that thing. So I don't necessarily think we all have to be, you know, push past over proudness, but I definitely feel like if you've accomplished something that you've worked really, really hard for, you definitely bask in it and like be as proud as heck. And if you want to push through and go forward, go ahead. But if you want to go and venture off into something else, there's a perfect time for you to do that because you've achieved one goal. So that's my opinion. That's what I think. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess not everybody just wants to keep pushing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, I mean, I guess I didn't mean to say it like that. Like, every single person out there should push through, because some people don't, because it'll make them miserable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you. Do what makes you happy. Yeah,
do you.
Just a couple more. Next is, you will never always be motivated, so you must learn to be disciplined. Mm. 75 hard.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Yeah, I think that any challenge in life, even if it is like a health challenge or whatever, or you just set a very challenging goal in your life, it will help you with discipline so much, because it's true, not every day you're gonna wake up and be super motivated and you know, feel that ambition to work hard like you did maybe the day before. You know, like, we all have days that we wake up and we just don't really feel like doing anything, but that's where discipline comes in. If you set a schedule for yourself the night before that you're gonna work and do, you know, complete a project the next day, you have like a timeline, you have to stick to it, you have to be disciplined even if you're not in the mood. Having said that, I'm someone that really does believe in rest. I don't think that there's anything wrong with taking a day of rest or taking a break from something. I'm actually working on a project this week about that for the Instagram account for this. But yeah, discipline is so important if you want to go really far in life. But even if you just want to achieve your goals, even if they're you know, going off of the last quote, if there's just goals that you want to achieve before the end of your life, it's going to take discipline to get there.
Yeah, I second that. I think that discipline, from my experience with 75 hard, I never worked out before then, and I started this challenge, and there are days when I'm just not motivated. Most of the days I wasn't motivated to do any of that stuff. But the thing that kept me going was that I had the discipline to not lose. And because I didn't want to lose that challenge, I got my butt up at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever it is, and got everything done on that list that I needed to get done. Just because the only strong discipline I feel like I ever really have is that I don't want to lose. But after the 75 hard, all that stuff went just tanked, really, because the other discipline wasn't really there. And so the discipline is so important, especially because motivation dies so fast. Like, you'll have motivation, it'll die down, it'll come. It's like a bath, you know. You have to bathe daily or you start to stink. And you have to keep yourself motivated through discipline, or, you know, you'll just lose that motivation.
Nice. I like that. Okay. This might be the last one. Okay. Whoa, I can't read that from that far. Giving your all doesn't mean you have to do it all, and you are allowed to pace yourself. I just think that's a really good reminder. I think that maybe there's a lot of people out there that think that phrase, give it your all, really does mean do it all yourself. I think that I was one of those people, but as I get more into filming, I'm actually getting more excited thinking about creating like a team, a film crew, people that specialize in different things, and they can bring their talents and we can all bring our talents together and create something really awesome. And like lately, I've been doing everything on my own, especially during quarantine, and it's really got me thinking about this quote, because I've had this saved for a while, how it, like, giving it your all does not mean you have to do everything yourself. It's more than okay to have people there helping you. And my example is just the whole film thing. That's just my thing, that I want to eventually bring on a team, or at least like know a lot of different connections, where if I want to put on a more complicated shoot, I have people that can come and help me with it. Because I mean, the more complex things that I create, the more like I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. I can be the leader in it and I can be like the mastermind of it, but I think it's always good to bring more brain power into a project. Again, that's just like talking about film stuff specifically.
That makes sense. Can you repeat that quote again?
Yeah. It says, giving your all doesn't mean you have to do it all, and you are allowed to pace yourself.
Oh, that is one loaded quote. Giving your all doesn't mean you have to do it all.
Here you go.
I mean, I'm going to hold it so I can read it. Giving your all doesn't mean that you have to do it all, and you're allowed to pace yourself. I feel like this is one of those quotes again that, you know, I don't necessarily agree or disagree with it. I feel like when I hear the term give it your all, it's all that I can give, and it does mean that I want to do it all. Because here's the thing, when I was growing up, everything was dependent like on me, like all the circumstances that I was raised in, everything that I was around was just like I had to do it all to get myself out of where I'm at. Even like if there were people around me that was helping me to grow, I still had to commit myself to learn from them. And so I don't really have much to say about this quote. I like the quote. I just don't know if I agree with it. I also don't know if I disagree with it. But it's a nice quote, guys.
You're just not feeling it. I don't like how it adds the second part.
Yeah, the second part kind of throws me off.
It seems really like Like, it doesn't belong.
Yeah, and you're allowed to do it. I feel like this is someone's, like, obviously quotes are personal opinion, but I feel like they're very opinionated about this specific quote.
Dang.
Giving your all doesn't mean you have to do it all. And then they're like, and you are allowed to pace yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody attacked them and then they just wrote this quote. Yeah. I just feel like the second part should be like its own separate quote. I almost left it out, but then I was like, oh, like, I should probably put the whole quote.
I like the, you are allowed to pace yourself. Like, oh, I feel 100%. Like that sticks so hard. Like, in anything you do, like, you are allowed to pace yourself. Don't ever feel like you are, you know, required to burn yourself into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, everybody works hard at different paces. Mm-hmm. You know, some people work at like super speed, like our boss. He works super fast. Sometimes I work fast, but most of the time I feel like I kind of take things slow. I think I've just learned over the years that I like to take things a little bit slow, because when I go fast, I feel like me having a clumsy personality, I think I just like forget things and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, succeed at your own pace, you know?
True. I like that. Succeed at your own pace. That's mm-hmm. a quote right there, guys. Mark it, note it.
Okay, I kind of want to end on one last one. I'm trying to find one that I think that you would have a lot to say. Okay, this will be our last quote.
Okay, she thinks she has one. Let's see.
I don't know how you're going to feel about it. It says, honestly, as long as you're happy, who the hell cares? Your face. I just wanted to end on a happy note. Sorry.
Are you waiting for my opinion?
Yeah, what do you have to say about happiness, babe?
As long as you're happy, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
I think I don't agree with this quote. I feel like happiness is really important. Happiness is really key. But after being around so many people, I don't necessarily feel like the happiness leads to a greater happiness in the end. Like, they, in the first, like, 4 years of, I mean, in 4 years of your life, you can be doing all these amazing things and feel like it's making you very, very happy, which it could be, but the consequence of those things that you're doing has a greater effect in the next 10 years of your life, which could mess you up so bad. And so,
Wait, what do you mean?
Just like, okay, so for instance, because you never know what someone's happiness is, right? So let's mm-hmm. say their happiness is substance abuse. Right, and that makes them happy because it's a place they can escape to and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But fast forward 5 years in the future, you don't know what that effect can have on that person.
Yeah,
just like, it's just like sex. Like, it's an amazing thing. It makes you happy, blah blah blah, and you do it so many times. Eventually, you pop a kid out. It turns the course of your life. So I do think, like, happiness is key, and you do need to be happy, but just be careful of what those happy things are that you're doing. So the quote says, honestly, as long as you're happy, who the hell cares? The only thing I would object to about that is just be careful what your happiness is. And I do want everyone to be happy, but I also want them to be happy for a long period of time. So you do have to do things that help you to maintain that happiness over the course of time. So you can be a musician if that makes you happy, but just, you know, throw something in there that can sustain your life to make you live longer and, you know, and not have to be stressed out. And even though you're doing something that you love that's happy, stress can come in by not having money to fund your life or to take care of your family or help out friends when they need it. And so I agree with the quote. I just think just be aware of what you think, what makes you happy, and make sure that in the next 5 to 10 years that those things won't affect any of your progress at that point in time.
No, I think that's good to remind people that there is some things that people do that make them happy that are going to end up being a danger to their life, mm-hmm. you know? Wow, I don't know what to say. Because that, you know, that's bringing up a really good point. Well, I do agree with the quote because I'm very much one of those people that I'm like, well, who cares what people think? I think that's how I read it. I think instead of thinking of, like, the situation like you did, which I'm glad that we thought about it in two different ways, I was just thinking, again, because it's my personality, like, I read it as, like, I'm happy and I don't give a what other people think, which I'm going to take that side with what I'm going to talk about. I think that's really good to have a mindset like that to an extent, obviously. I mean, don't be, like, rude about it, but it's been there, done that. It doesn't do anything good for you. But I really think that you shouldn't, like, let people dictate your happiness. However, going off of what you said, you know, if you're doing something like substance abuse or something like that that does make you happy and someone's trying to help you, that's a different story. But if you're doing something like a hobby that you really enjoy and you're maybe getting bullied for it, or your family doesn't agree with it, you know, maybe you're a guy that likes to do ballet and wants to be a professional ballerina and, like, you're getting harassed for doing that and making that decision, I say, who the hell cares? Just do that if it makes you happy. So yeah, that's my take when I read this quote, is just, like, don't let people take away your happiness. Just be happy. And yeah, but I'm really glad that you took that other point of view, because I think that's a good reminder.
Well, I lived a long time, because throughout, like, high school, after high school, I was like, I'm going, you know, I'm doing whatever I want. And I have a lot of friends at that time that are just like, you know, living that, I do what makes me happy. And I used to preach that all the time, like, do what makes you happy, doesn't matter. But now that I've gotten older, I've realized that that quote is actually, it's a good thing when you know what you're doing, but when you are just like when you're so young and you don't really know much about what you're doing, it could actually be, it could actually hit your life in a negative way. And I've seen it affect most of my friends. Now they're my age and they're growing up and their life is it's not in a good spot. And it's because of that mentality. It's like, I'll do what I want that makes me happy. But in the long run of things, it really, you just have to be careful in the things that do make you happy. If you're doing the things that are gonna succeed and help your life 4, 5, 10 years from now, then it's good, you know. But I'm just giving everyone a precaution, like, hey, instead of, you know, it's a dangerous line to walk that way, because you end up pushing a lot of people out that are trying to help and support you also, because it creates, like, a stubborn mindset. But it's also it's a tricky line, because you also need that mentality to help you to do the things that you want to do. But just be careful in how you use that quote, just because I've seen it, you know, have a negative effect on a lot of my friends.
Yeah, it just comes with growth. I'm actually glad you said that, because just yesterday we were talking with your cousin about being stubborn, or maybe it was 2 days ago, I can't remember, but we got on the topic of being stubborn and how it has a line, and I think that this really goes with that. I was very stubborn before. I'm still stubborn, but before, when I was younger and I wasn't quite mature enough to realize that being stubborn really has, like, its negativity to it, I was that person that was like, I'm gonna do whatever makes me happy, and that resorted to me doing things that was affecting other people in my life. And I didn't think that it really was affecting them because I was like, well, it's my choice, it's my life, like how could it affect them? But that's because I was younger and wasn't as mature. And yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things that I did out of being stubborn was moving to Thailand, and it actually ended up affecting my mom a lot, that decision. And even though I'm glad that I did it because I grew a lot while I was over there, there is a part of me that feels bad because that was like the last thing that I did out of stubbornness, before I realized that there's a line and that it's okay. Like, I encourage people to be stubborn, but only up until that line. Because once you cross it, you're going to start hurting people in your life. You're going to start putting people in sticky situations. So, yeah, that does tie into this quote of being happy, you know? Because happiness and stubbornness really walk the same line. And we just have to be careful how we use it. I feel like now I'm at a point where I know when to let my stubbornness go. I know when to put it off to the side and listen to other people. You know, now having a husband and everything, I need to definitely consider another person in my life. And after that whole situation that I put my mom through, I definitely think twice before I decide to do things. But ultimately, I still work towards doing things that make me happy, you know? So, yeah, that's... Yeah. I definitely understand that.
and that's just what she summed up is basically what I was saying. So, you know, listen to that and take it from, I've never really been too stubborn, but take it from someone that's been really, really stubborn.
Yeah, seriously.
And yeah, just, you know, I 100%, she couldn't have said it better. So that's my word. And, you know, Star's going to wrap it up, but y'all, I love you. Have a good night, and you're awesome.
All right, cool, guys. I think that was an awesome quote to end on. So we will be tuned back in next Monday morning at 6 a.m. That will be a little bit different now since we moved. We're in a different time zone, but you'll figure it out. All right, see you guys.